Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
And welcome to Long-Term Care Radio. Glad to have you guys aboard this weekend. I want to start off by asking a quick question out there. Do any of you read the obituaries in the paper anymore? I still do. I get a local paper delivered to me once a week from the area that I grew up in southern Colorado. And the obituaries are on the inside front cover. And so I make it a point every week when I get that paper, is I glance at the outside, see what the big stories are. But then the first thing I do is I flip the inside cover over and read the obituaries. And, you know, I'm looking for somebody that I might know. And it used to be, you know, peers of my grandmother. And now that's, you know, a lot of those people are in there. You know, we just had a friend that died that was 98. But though there's not too many of the friends of my grandmother left. And so now we're starting to see the peers of my mother, maybe a student of mine, a classmate's parents, somebody that I know that way. And every once in a while, you'll see something tragic where it's a younger person that dies in an accident or cancer or something at an early age. But what I've noticed about the obituaries over all the years is they have some things in common. And they always start off usually like where that person was born and to whom, so who the parents were. And then they'll often talk about where they grew up, what town they grew up in, and when they graduated school. And many times it will highlight a person's service in the military. And that's going to be, you know, that's very common. Or then maybe they'll talk about the school that they went to. They graduated college. They always usually talk about who they got married to. And I always kind of laugh at this because if they married the love of their life from high school and they've been married for 55 years, that's always highlighted. But when you have someone like my grandma who was on her third husband, that's always a little bit tricky, you know, in those obituaries. So I always kind of look for that, and you can tell. The people that have been together 30, 40, 50 years, that's always highlighted. Another common thing you'll see in the obituaries is how many kids do they have? It's the survived by section. So they'll list out their kids, their grandkids, sometimes their great-grandkids. Often we'll see nephews and nieces and brothers and siblings and all these things. And I'm always, you know, inspired by that because you'll realize just how many people this one person touched when they start breaking down that family tree. And then you'll often see, you know, something highlighted about their accomplishments or their hobbies or something that they were very proud of, maybe a foundation they started or that they volunteered or they taught school at such and such place for 37 years. You'll always kind of see those things highlighted. But the one thing that I've noticed, the cause of death, it's usually not listed in the obituaries. You know, sometimes they'll say they passed away after a brief bout with cancer, or you might see a news story in the paper somewhere else, but as a general rule, they don't talk about the death. But I'll tell you one thing you almost never see in all the years I've been reading the obituaries is you never see them talking about the last years of that person's life. In fact, they will go on and on about the early years, the early accomplishments, where they graduated school, who they got married to, their kids, all those kind of things, where they worked. But you almost never see them mention the last years of their lives. In fact, even the pictures that are submitted often are from earlier days, you know, back when they're in their 20s or their 30s with a motorcycle or something that they really enjoyed, or maybe in their prime working years in their 50s. But you never see a picture of someone lying in a hospital bed with an oxygen tube on. You just don't see those kind of pictures usually in the obituaries. They're usually a picture from earlier years. And I think that, you know, one of the big things that we really have to think about on this is why do we do that as humans? Why do we simply want to focus on the good times? Do we really only need to remember those good times? Do we want to forget the bad times? And actually, researchers reviewing several studies on autobiographical memory and happiness have found that human memory is biased towards happiness. So that's kind of our default. It is to focus on the happiness. So we are programmed to remember those good times, so to speak. But there is a catch to this. Mild depression can disrupt the bias for good over bad, meaning that people that have mild depression can often will focus on the bad. They start moving that default mechanism to focus on the good memories, and they'll focus on the bad. And stick with me on this. And this is why we're talking about this. Who suffers from some of the highest rates of depression out there? It's caregivers. If we take them as a group, as a whole, caregivers suffer some of the highest rates of depression out there, which right now, according to AARP, there are over 53 million caregivers in this country. The overwhelming majority of them are unpaid family members. Now think about that. 53 million caregivers, the vast majority of them are unpaid family caregivers. That number has actually creeped up a little bit due to COVID because people are pulling out all stops to try to avoid going to an assisted living facility or to a nursing home setting. But over 50 million, and the overwhelming majority of them, so let's just say it's 90% are unpaid family members, that's 45 million people, folks. It's nearly one in six people out there. And so my question for you today, when you think about this, I think about your future, and I want you to think about your retirement years and the years you have ahead of you. My question to you is, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want the last years of your life to play out for you, and more importantly, for your family? Do you want them to be the worst years for everyone? Of course not. Nobody would say that. I shouldn't say nobody. Let's face it, there's some cranky old people out there. But as a general rule, nobody would wish that on anybody, especially the people they care about. Yet it is happening to millions of people right now across this country. They are making their last years the worst years for themselves and for their family members because they never planned for an extended health care event. They never thought they would need it. They didn't think it was going to be a big deal. They never got around to it. They were told that they have enough money, so they didn't need to worry about it. They assumed their family could manage their care. Maybe they felt their family owed it to them. They didn't need to plan because they would die when they are ready. I've heard all these excuses. And whatever the reason, there's just millions of people in long-term care situations right now draining their financial resources, but also draining the physical and the emotional resources of their family members. And it's not going to stop until somebody writes their obituary. So today we're going to talk about how you mitigate those consequences of an extended healthcare situation with long-term care insurance planning. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because, you know, the obituaries talk about, they highlight somebody's life. And the eulogy, when you're at the funeral, the same thing. They talk about the good times. But at every funeral that I've been to, I also realize that there are people in there. Nobody talks about it, but there's people in there that finally get to exhale. They finally get to take that big, deep breath and just relax. They finally are going to get a night to themselves. They're going to get a weekend to themselves. They're going to be able to go on a trip that they haven't done because they gave all that up to be a caregiver. And we never talk about that. We never highlight that in the obituaries. We never talk about that at the funerals. But for a lot of people, the worst years for their family were those last years watching their loved ones suffer and being on beck and call to provide that care for them. So we're going to talk about mitigating that today. And it's one of the most important reasons why I think you want to do long-term care insurance planning is to protect the people you care about. But first, before we get to that, I want to spend a little bit of time here before we get into our first break. I want to tell you about our classes coming up. I have a class next Saturday on the 20th. That's going to be at 9 a.m. And then the following Wednesday, the 24th, at 10 a.m. They're the same class, so if you can't make it Saturday, you can make it Wednesday. If you can't make it Wednesday, sign up for that Saturday class. And again, you'll find the information on our website at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com, and you'll just see the attend an event page tab right at the top of the homepage. Click on that and it'll pull up those two events. The classes are free. We do limit the sign up. Saturday's got quite a few people signed up already for it right now. Wednesday's looking pretty open. So if you're more flexible and you have the time, Wednesday at 10 a.m., that's the 24th. But I still do have some seats for next Saturday at 9 a.m. And again, it's just a great way to really get started and get the basic information on long-term care planning, some of the options, what it pays for, what your you know, how it stacks up, what Medicare, what Medicaid pays for. And it, we even give you a book, a guide to long-term care planning that we've put together, and we can email that to you, or we can put a stamp on it and get that out to you. And so the idea is to kind of help you wrap your mind around the subject matter so that when you're ready to start talking about planning, you'll have a good idea of the basics. So again, next Saturday is our next class at 9 a.m. I also have a great client of the week this week, so stick around for that. It's our most popular plan, using required minimum distributions, using a retirement account in a lump sum and spreading the taxes out over 10 years. I'm going to show you how we set that up and why. And before I go today, I've got a question of the week from Joyce in Bellevue, who wants to know about buying a plan for a child. So I'm going to explain to you that, yes, you can do that and how that works. So stick around. We're going to take our first break. I'll be right back.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. At Story Monson, a great way to learn about long-term care coverage is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their upcoming free long-term care planning live webinars, Saturday, February 20th and Wednesday, February 24th. You'll learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you, like they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. I love how much time they spent with us. And it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up now for one of the free live webinars, Saturday, February 20th, Wednesday, February 24th. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio. If you're new to Long-Term Care Radio, this is a program we put on every week. We also have our podcast. In fact, I was talking to a listener this week that was in Virginia. So we have people all over that listen to the podcast. But we are on four times on the local market in Seattle at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock Saturday morning, and then 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon and 12 o'clock on Sundays. So again, you can find that schedule on our website at 525longtermcare.com. You can also find our podcast. But the idea of the radio show is just to really kind of educate you and bring some awareness to some of the things that we need to think about for long-term care planning. And this week, folks, today I'm going to tell you this is what I think the most important aspect of long-term care planning is all about. It's about protecting the people you care about. So today, you know, I want to spend some time and on what I feel is again, the most important reason to have a long-term care insurance plan. And it's to make sure that the last years of your life are not the worst years for you and your family. That's just the bottom line. One of the most common mistakes I see when it comes to planning for an extended healthcare event is making it about money. And let me explain what I mean. most people, and when I say people, I mean you, me, our neighbors, even the professionals, the CPAs, the financial advisors, the attorneys, even the medical professionals, most of us just simply view long-term care as a money issue, meaning if you have enough money, you don't need to worry about it. Only those with limited resources, you know, somebody that might run out of money and end up on Medicaid, those are the only people that really need to worry about long-term care planning. And it's almost as if all those dead presidents in your wallet are just going to spring into action and take care of you in a time of need. And folks, I will tell you, having money is not having a plan. And let me repeat this. Having money, having resources, is not having a long-term care plan. Having a plan provides you with a source of income to pay for some of or all of your care, but it's not the greatest benefit. Having a plan provides you with access to professionals that will help you manage your care in a time of need. Now, what do I mean by that? The truth is, most people have no idea what an extended health care situation entails. Truthfully, if you haven't watched a loved one go through a long-term care situation, if you haven't been in that caregiver role, you probably have no idea of all the things that are involved in long-term care. Statistically, most people think it's a medical event. They think it's medically related, so therefore Medicare is going to pay for it. And I'm sorry to say that Medicare and is not going to pay for long-term care, because long-term care situations are not medical in nature. It is not about fixing you and getting you back to normal. Long-term care instead involves a wide array of care, social, and housing services. And they're often convoluted, especially in sudden events like a stroke. You know, you have mom or dad has a stroke and they end up in the hospital. And now we've got to get, you know, the emergency care in the hospital for the first few days, and then they move them to a nursing home, and then they get to that point where they say, hey, they can't stay here anymore, but yet they need physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy. They need someone to help with medications. They need someone to help with the basic daily activities of living, the transferring, the bathing, the dressing, the eating, all those things, the light housework, the grocery shopping, all that stuff. It gets very convoluted very quick. So how do you get the care you need? How do you know you are getting the right care by the right people? That's one of the biggest problems that people just aren't aware of. And one of my analogies, I have a friend that's a contractor. He has a construction company out in Colorado, and he's very successful. I mean, in his construction company, they have everything. They have architects, they have engineers, they have a whole list of subcontractors, the electricians, the plumbers, the finish contractors. They have a permitting department. They have people that just simply work on the rules and the regulations for every city, you know, and county and state that they work in. And they can build, you know, they build multiple buildings a year. So if you're one of these people and you're building dozens of houses a year and you've got all these people around you and your house burns down, yeah, the insurance company shows up and they drop off a sack full of money, great. Or if you're a billionaire and your house burns down, you need $500,000 to rebuild it, maybe you just go pull $500,000 out of your savings account. It's not going to be a big deal for you. The problem is, for the rest of us, it's going to be a big problem. You know, if our house burns down, the problem is we're not contractors. So what do we do with the burnt structure? How do you get rid of that? Where do I get the permits? Where do I find a good contractor? How do I know that they are good? How do I know they're not overcharging me? How do I know that they're qualified? What are their subcontractors like? Where do I get the permits? What are the regulations in the area that I live in? What do I have to do? These are all the things. The list goes on and on. And the same thing happens to us when we end up in a long-term care situation. You are suddenly thrown into a series of must-be-made decisions that most of us have no experience with. And the majority of the time, it's not you making those decisions. The majority of the time, it's dumped on your family, and your family members have to step up. How do they get the care and where? How do we know it's appropriate? How do we get the plan of care and from whom? Who actually writes that plan of care? Who oversees it? Who makes sure that the care is consistent with your need? Is it a cognitive impairment? Is it a physical impairment? How do we know that caregiver knows how to provide that help that you need? What happens if the needed level of care changes? You start out needing help 2 days a week, and now all of a sudden you need help 7 days a week. Who's making sure the people providing that care are qualified? How much is it going to cost? How do we know that what we are being charged is the right amount? Does Medicare pay for any of this? Are any of these medical expenses? How do we figure that out? You know, that's the problem we have in these long-term care situations. It's just ongoing decisions. You know, is this the right care for mom? Is there a better option? How do we know? And my point is the decision-making is complex, and it requires input. Care doesn't show up. You can have all the money in the world. You're not going to just call your banker and say, hey, mom's in a long-term care situation now. We need you to get that her long-term care journey taken care of. She's been saving for this for her whole life. It doesn't work this way. You know, and a few years ago, I read this article, and it highlighted just how people and families suffer with extended care situations, and even the wealthy. And it's because there's all these moving parts that we have to figure out. And one of the biggest misconceptions about long-term care events is that they bring families together. And let's talk about that for a second. I'm telling you, this is one of the biggest misconceptions, that it brings families together, and the reality is completely different. It's not a kumbaya moment. In fact, usually what happens is one sibling will have to step up because they, hey, you know what? They live closest to mom, so that's fair. They can get over there. I'm you know, 1,200 miles away, so you know, I can call. Just let me know what you need me to do, but I can't really show up every day. That's usually what happens. And what happens in these family situations is it often destroys relationships between family members. You guys have heard Madeline in here. Madeline was a caregiver for her mom when she was a teenager. She was the only girl in the house, so dad and the two brothers felt that Madeline was the right person for the job. They didn't ask Madeline how she felt about that. And so what happens is feuds commonly break out over who's going to provide that care, where to get the best level of care. Why are we spending so much of mom's money on this care? She doesn't need that nice of a place. Let's put her over here. Those kind of things happen because why? They're trying to protect those assets that they're going to inherit. And I had a client that came in one time. She was 10 years younger than her two older siblings. And that was the argument that she was having with them. They were trying to stick mom in a halfway house that they could pay, just use her Social Security to pay for. Mom had several million dollars. And the youngest daughter was saying, that's not fair. Mom deserves the best level of care that we can get her. She has the money. The older siblings wanted to protect it. Those are the kind of things that happen to families. Why? Because there's not a plan. There's no thought process put into this situation ahead of time. So my takeaway from this discussion today is that long-term care planning does a couple things, and it does a couple things really, really well. Yes, excuse me, it provides a dedicated funding source to pay for your care. It preserves your assets. It saves you on taxes. It does all that. You have a defined bucket of money to pay for care. You don't have to worry about converting assets to income. It does that great. It also gives us this peace of mind, this security, because we know that, guess what? Should I end up in an extended healthcare situation, I have this plan in place. But most importantly, the number one reason why I think you want a long-term care plan is because it's going to provide you with a team of professionals to make sure that your care is managed in a time of need, so that your family doesn't have to figure it out, so that they don't have to step up. And what I mean by that is most long-term care plans, depending on who the carrier is, you have a lot of options. You have care coordination. You know, that's that person that's making sure the physical therapist is there, the person coming in doing the light houseworking is there, all the things you need to get through the day is done. You have case managers that are overseeing your plan of care from the doctor, making sure that all that the care that you need is being met, and that the care coordinator is making sure that that's all getting in, done on a timely fashion. You know, making sure that the sheetrock guy doesn't show up before the electrician's through putting the wires in the wall. Then you have a claim specialist that is going to be able to look at that billing and make sure that Medicare is paying its fair share and making sure that the charges that you're being charged are legitimate and fair. And also, if you're like me, some of the companies offer this concierge level service where they actually assign somebody to you and your family so you have one person to call and they're going to help you with all these decisions. They've been doing this for years. They understand the difference between a physical and a cognitive. They know what assisted living is. They know what skilled nursing is. They know how to help and guide you in doing all this. So, you know, again, long-term care, it's about protecting your family. We're going to head into our next break. When we come back, I'm going to show you a client of the week using our most popular plan here at 525 Advisors. It's using a retirement account. We'll be right back.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. At Story Monson, a great way to learn about long-term care coverage is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their upcoming free long-term care planning live webinars, Saturday, February 20th and Wednesday, February 24th. You'll learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you, like they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. I love how much time they spent with us. And it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up now for one of the free live webinars, Saturday, February 20th, Wednesday, February 24th. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital Management and host of Know Your Risk Radio. You know, something we never really talk about on the show, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but is long-term care. And we never talk about it because we don't sell it. We're licensed to, but we don't. You want to know why? Because it's really intricate and complicated, and we're not trying to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. We want to focus on your investments. That's where we believe that we bring value. For long-term care insurance, which I think is very important, can be a good fit, maybe not right for some people, but if you have questions about long-term care insurance, do what we do, right? You know what we do? We call Brian Ott, 525 Advisors. Why? Not because he and I are both on the radio show. We started using Brian, referring it out for our clients, because he knows it inside and out. Go to 525longtermcare.com. You can contact Brian. You can sign up for one of his events. I couldn't be a bigger fan. Take advantage of it. You need long-term care. Brian's the guy to go to.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio, and thanks again for tuning in. Again, you heard the classes are coming up. The ads, our next class is next Saturday at 9 a.m., so still a few seats available for that. Just sign up. And again, the software that we use for this webinar is so easy. It's not like Zoom, if you're familiar with that, or Teams. Our software, actually, we're just going to send you a link. All you have to do is click on it, and it pops it up in your browser. So you can watch the webinar on your smartphone, on your tablet, on your computer, even on your TV if you have a smart TV. And so once you sign up, you'll get that link sent out to you, which is really easy. So, again, next Saturday at 9 a.m., and then we do have one the following Wednesday, the 24th, at 10 a.m. So, again, free registration at 525longtermcare.com. So this is the time of the show where I bring in a client of the week. And so, you know, when we sit down with someone to design a plan, we are really, you know, we're doing it over the phone now, obviously. But what we're really doing is just kind of going through the situation and trying to figure out what makes sense for this person. Because everybody has a different, you know, situation. They have kids. They don't have kids. They have assets. They don't have assets. They have different wants. Some people want to age at home forever. Some people are willing to move to assisted living. So we just kind of talk that through and we figure that out. So designing a plan encompasses two things. Number one is you know, putting that plan together that's meaningful for you, for your financial situation. And then the second stage is, what's the best way to fund this? And this week I have Alan and I have Camille. Alan is 72, Camille is 69. This couple, we designed our most popular plan that we do. We do more of this than anybody in the country, and it's using retirement accounts to fund a plan. And I'm going to show you why and how we did this. But again, Alan's 72, Camille is 69. Both are retired. They're living comfortably. Alan has a little bit of pension. He has Social Security. And Camille's got her Social Security. She's got a small little pension as well, too. So they're comfortable on the income side. But Alan now is 72. He has to take required minimum distributions from his IRA. And so for those of you that are getting close to that, you'll know the Secure Act changed that. It used to be the year you turned 70 and a half, you had to start taking required minimum distributions. So that means if you have $1 million in your IRA, you've got to take out roughly $36,000 your first year. And you count that as income, and you get a 1099 at the end of the year, and you pay taxes on it. So that's the big thing. We were saving all this money over all these years in our retirement accounts because it was growing tax deferred. But the money's not tax free. We have to take it out, and they bump that age to 72. And just a little side note, there's a bill in Congress talking about pushing that up to age 75 here soon. And it's not a freebie for us. I'll explain that a little bit later. But right now, you have to start taking money out at age 72. The biggest concern for Alan and Camille was being a burden on their family. They have three kids. They have seven grandkids. So again, right, we're back to the obituary that we were talking about. How many kids, how many grandkids? They're very proud of this. These are what people are proud of, their family. And, you know, Camille was just adamant. She did not want to be a burden on the kids. She did not want them giving up their lives to try to help them manage their care situation. And one of the big things for Alan was, you know, he was looking right down the barrel of taxes. He's got these RMDs. He's got to pull this money out. He doesn't need this money. It's excess money, but he still has to pull it out. He has to pay taxes on it. And then what do? You put it back in investments, and then down the road, you pay tax on the money again on any capital gains or anything like that. So he was very kind of, you know, wary of the fact that they were going to pay a lot of taxes. And he also understood the Secure Act. Remember, if you leave a big IRA to the next generation, they got to pull the money out in 10 years now. They can't extend it out over their lifetime. So he was trying to figure out, you know, how do we put this money to work? I want to pay as little taxes as possible. And he was worried about whittling down the estate, meaning that, you know, if one of them end up in an extended health care situation or both of them, they're going to whittle that estate down. And what he was really saying is, like, we would like to do some estate planning. We would like to pass on some of our money to our kids and our grandkids. We'd like to feel comfortable being able to maybe help with college or family vacations or whatever it is. And he said, right now, we're just kind of guessing because we know we have this money. We got to start taking it out, but we don't know how much we're going to need for a long-term care situation. And that's common with all of us. When you're self-insuring, you don't know how much you need. So that's the problem with it. And I think the final concern that they really touched on, staying in control of their care options. They wanted to age at home for as long as possible if they could, but they didn't want to be forced to move somewhere. So they wanted a plan that would allow them to bring the help in should they need care. And during their conversation, I found out again that the IRA was really excess money, meaning that they didn't need this money to live on. That was kind of excess money if they need to replace a roof or something like that. But now they have to start taking it out. They can't let it sit there anymore. And the IRS knows this. That's why they're saying, hey, guess what? You're 72. You got to pull that money out. It's time for you to start paying taxes on that money. Again, he wanted to leave an estate behind. That was something we talked about. The idea of the money coming back to the family if they didn't use their long-term care plan made a lot of sense to him. He thought that was a really good idea because he's saying, well, I'm self-insuring anyway at this point, so if I can get an insurance plan and I don't use it and that money goes back to the family, that's the best of both worlds. And they really liked the idea of a comprehensive plan, meaning all their options were paid for, whether they're at home, assisted living, you know, skilled nursing, but they also wanted that support around them. You know, Camille had been listening to the radio before. She liked the idea of that concierge level of care. So I want somebody that we can call so that my family doesn't have to figure this out and somebody that can guide us through that. So those were all of the things that were important to them that we talked about during our discussion. So what did we do? We ended up designing a plan. And again, remember, Alan's 72 years old, and he's still in pretty good shape. He wasn't perfect shape. You know, he had high blood pressure medication, some things like that. So he wasn't perfect shape, but still in good shape. And at 72, we were able to design a plan using some of that IRA money. Now, remember, he's got to take out required minimum distributions every year. So what we did is we took a lump sum out of his IRA just this year. We just took one big lump sum. The beauty of this plan is that he does not have to pay taxes on it. He's able to take this lump sum out, and we're going to do what they call a rollover. So we're going to roll it from his custodian, you know, Schwab or Fidelity, wherever your money is. We roll that over to the insurance company, and it's really in an IRA in the background. Now, what the insurance company is going to do then is over the next 10 years, they're going to take out a portion of that money, and they're going to move it over to the insurance plan, just like you were actually paying premiums. So they do that over 10 years. So it would be equivalent to you having your own 10-pay long-term care plan, meaning you're writing a check for 10 years. But instead of doing that, we're just doing it with a lump sum up front. So what we did is we took a single lump sum of $300,000 out of his IRA. We deposited that with the insurance company. Why do you do that? Well, because what that does is it buys you 20% more insurance because you gave that money to the insurance company up front and they guarantee you an interest rate right now, which is a little bit over 3%, which, by the way, you can't get out there in the market. So his $300,000 is going to actually make 10 payments into his insurance plan of $36,000. So he's buying $360,000 of long-term care insurance for $36,000 or for $300,000 of premium up front. So basically what happens is Alan's $300,000 is rolled over to the insurance company. The insurance company is going to technically set up an IRA in the background, and they're going to pull $36,000 out of that for the next 10 years to fund the long-term care insurance plan. Now, they have their coverage from day one, so they're not really doing anything. This is all done on the books of the insurance company. But what it does is it provides each of them, it provides Alan and Camille $76,000 a year of long-term care insurance. So they each can pull out $6,300 a month of long-term care insurance tax-free out of this plan for an unlimited amount of time. So it's a true catastrophic policy. If they're both on claim, they're pulling out, you know, $12,700 a month tax-free out of this long-term care insurance plan. That's going to be their long-term care insurance. That's why we set this plan up. Now, alongside that, there's also a death benefit. So what happens if they never use this plan? They live a nice long life. They never trigger long-term care. $317,000 is paid back to their beneficiaries, to their kids, tax-free. So again, $300 went in, they're guaranteed to get $317 back. And whenever you see that $317, that means that could be either in death benefit, which is tax-free, or long-term care benefit, or a combination of both, meaning that if just one of them go on claim and they use $100,000, well, then $217,000 is paid back to the estate tax-free. So again, $300 in, they're guaranteed to get $317 back, but technically they can pull an unlimited amount of money out of this policy for long-term care. That's why we have it, because if one of them end up in a cognitive situation and they need 10 years of care, they can pull out their $76,000 a year tax free for 10 years. The other person goes on claim, and for 5 years, they're going to pull out their $76,000 for 5 years. So they can pull out literally millions of dollars out of this plan for long-term care. That's the insurance. But if they get lucky and they don't need it, all that money that they put into the plan is going to come back to their estate a little bit more tax-free. Now, here's the beautiful thing about this plan. Alan has to take required minimum distribution. So what happens is we move that $300,000 over. That's not a taxable event. But each year the insurance company pulls out $36,000. That is going to generate a 1099-R, which is the money it's showing. I just pulled $36,000 out of my retirement account. Alan can aggregate that with all of his total distribution. So if he's got $1 million and he has to pull out $38,000 of required minimum distributions, well, he's already pulling $36,000 out because of this insurance plan he set up. So that counts. So he only has to pull out $2,000 out of the rest of his money. So it's basically putting that RMD to work, and it's taking money that's always taxed, which is the IRA money, and it's turning it into a tax-free benefit, either a death benefit or it's turning it into a long-term care benefit, which is tax-free. And think about this, folks. It doesn't change their tax structure at all. Alan has to pull out, I'll just tell you, he's got to pull out more than $36,000 a year out of his retirement account. So it's not changing that at all. It didn't push their taxes up one dime. And the beauty of it, too, is if they die early, like the first couple of years, that death benefit, for instance, year two, is actually $550,000 because they put $300 in, but only part of that is technically in the long-term care insurance plan because the company's basically pulling it out over 10 years. So they would still have money in their IRA. So it's just a win-win situation. It also has the full concierge-level service that Camille was interested in. It gives them money for caregiver training. It gives them money for medical equipment and home improvements. It's just a wonderful plan. It's our most popular plan because we're taking money that I have to spend down anyway, this IRA money, and I'm turning it into tax-free benefit, and I'm going to get 100% of my money back either way. So just a great client of the week. I really enjoy that. Stick around. When we come back, I've got a question of the week that I want to get to. and it's about buying a plan for your kids, and I'm going to show you how you can do that. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525-longtermcare.com. 525-longtermcare.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. At Story Monson, a great way to learn about long-term care coverage is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their upcoming free long-term care planning live webinars, Saturday, February 20th and Wednesday, February 24th. You'll learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you, like they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. I love how much time they spent with us. And it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up now for one of the free live webinars, Saturday, February 20th, Wednesday, February 24th. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio this weekend. Again, the podcasts are available. You can get them on iTunes. You can get them on our website. I know on the client of the week, sometimes you have to listen to those three or four times because I get going down these rabbit holes and I know I talk faster than I need to. And the numbers, I just see this stuff. It's all in my head and I love it. But the idea is, man, there's just some really, really great ways to set up plans. And for like our client of the week this week, think about that. You've got big chunks of IRA money. What the Secure Act did is it said, hey, you don't have to take money out till you're 72. Now they're going to try to push it to age 75. Why are they doing that? Because they know there's trillions of dollars in IRA accounts out there that are going to be passed on to the next generation. Guess what? The government's getting 22 to 24% of that money on average right now in taxes, but when it passes on to the next generation, they're looking at getting 34% of it. Because what happens when you leave $1 million to your kid now has to take all that money out in 10 years. It doesn't have to be in over equal amounts in 10 years, but it has to be out in 10 years. So you look at that, what that does is it pushes their income up and it's going to push them into a higher tax bracket. So that's really the money grab. They're not doing us a favor by saying, hey, you can defer and let your money grow tax deferred longer. That's not doing us a favor. What the government really said is like, hey, we're going to figure out how to get a bigger chunk of that money, more taxes of that. That's what the Secure Act does. So just be aware of that. And so by moving some of this IRA money out today, like our client of the week, what happens now if they get lucky and they never use long-term care and they pass away? Well, that $300,000 is an IRA money. It doesn't have to be pulled out in 10 years. It's already been taxed. It's already been taken care of. That $317 goes back tax-free to the estate, and that's just the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful plan. I think one of the biggest obstacles we're up against with several of our clients is we're somewhat limited. We can maybe move about $600,000 is the most you can move into, But for, you know, some people that have a couple million dollars in their IRA account, it's a great way to do it because they can turn that money into this tax-free benefit regardless of what happens, versus if they keep it in that account and they end up in long-term care, they're pulling that money out. It's counted as income. It pushes up their Medicare costs. They're going to pay higher taxes. So it's just, it becomes a snowball effect. Let's talk a little bit here. I've got a question of the week from Joyce in Bellevue, Washington. Can I buy a long-term care plan for my children? And if so, can you explain how that would work? And yes, Joyce, this, again, is one of something very common that we do. Long-term care plans, like when we talk about the client of the week, most people are the owners and the insured. But you can buy a policy for your kids. So you that, like we could just look at that same situation right there, Alan and Camille. They could have taken that same $300,000 out of their IRA, and they could have insured one of their kids. And that long-term care plan would have covered their kids for the long-term care benefit. And if their kid died, then the death benefit would be paid to whoever they wanted. It could be paid to their grandkids. But the owners of the policy could be the parents, and they could use their retirement account for that. So it's very, very common what we do that. And the thing you need to understand is it's one of the best gifts that you can give. If you're going to give your kid an inheritance of $100,000 or $500,000 or $1 million, what you can do is say, wait a second, what if I buy this $100,000 asset-based long-term care plan? It's going to have a death benefit, which is going to go tax-free. So if they die, that money is going to be paid to my grandkids. However, if they end up in an extended healthcare situation, they can have up to a lifetime of long-term care insurance tax-free, which will, again, protect not only your child, but it will protect your grandchildren. It will keep your grandchildren having to step into that caregiving role. So the idea with insurance is we have the insured and we have an owner, and the owner is who controls the contract. So, for instance, on both of my children, when they are born, I bought permanent life insurance policies. I put them in place. I own it. My kids are the ones that are insured. The idea right now is I'm kind of using it as a saving mechanism for college, but it's also insurance in case my kids develop an illness or something that they can't get life insurance down the road. Now they're going to have a plan that's, you know, it's a whole life policy, so it'll never go away as long as we keep paying those premiums. And so you can do that with life insurance. You can do that with long-term care insurance. And I, as the owner, control who the beneficiary is. That means who the money goes to. I control the cash value in the policy. And you have the same benefits with these asset-based long-term care plans. Now, on a traditional just pay-as-you-go plan, you could do that as well, too. So if you're doing some estate planning and you're setting up a trust, you could have a trust actually make the annual payments for long-term care insurance for your kids. So instead of saying, hey, I don't want my kids taking this money out and going to Vegas and gambling with it, I want it to go to a long-term care insurance contract, you can do that. You can also do it with a life insurance contract for the kids. So there's lots of things that we can do on that. And I think it's just important to understand that long-term care is a great gift. I mean, especially if you have those kids that are in their 40s and the 50s, they're probably not in a position, a lot of them aren't in a position to buy one of these asset-based plans, but maybe you can take some of that inheritance money and buy a long-term care insurance plan for your kid. You're still going to own it. You can still control it, but they're insured, and now they'll have that insurance the rest of their lives, and then the beneficiaries can be whoever you want. It can be a charity. It can be your grandkids. It can be anybody. So, again, just a really, really cool thing that we like to do. And you know, I think that, you know, what you have to remember is that most people in this country don't understand what long-term care is about. They don't know it until it falls right on their lap. And then it's different for every family. So if you start comparing notes, like I was just telling you, I was out skiing. I was on a trip. Man, you've got different situations. One of my friends is sitting there moving his in-laws into an assisted living. Another one of my friends is sitting there trying to figure out how to get them out of the home that they're in because they need to get out of there, but they don't want to go. Every single situation is different. And the whole idea of putting a plan in place, again, going back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show, it's about having that connection of those professionals and the resources around you to help you through this situation. Again, I don't want to build my house if it burns down. I don't want the insurance company to show up with money and just say, hey, here you go. Go get them, Big Tiger. You know, build your house. I don't want to do that. What I want when my house burns down is for the team of professionals to show up and know how to get my house rebuilt so I can go on with my life. That's what long-term care planning does for you. It does that for your family. It allows your family members to go on with their life. So I appreciate everybody tuning in this week. Again, our next class next Saturday at 9 a.m. That's on the 20th. And then I have one the following week on the 24th. So sign up for those at 525longtermcare.com. Again, 525longtermcare.com. And we will be back next week with another show. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and long-term care radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. To schedule an appointment with Brian Ott, call 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free long-term care planning class, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 to Long-Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.